All right. Well, here we go. We're going to start it. This is 8:34, right?
All day. Something like that, yeah.
All right, let's get this going.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Yeah, I got to put on my good sweatpants.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the streaming, go direct to DLNGS.org. And ICChallengeLinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 834 of the Linux Sling Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Barely surviving.
You sound really rough, man. I hope you feel better. Thanks for coming on, though. I really appreciate it coming out and you feel like that. We have Gorkon.
Good evening.
Flying Rich.
Soon to be gone.
And Joe.
Hello.
And Joe, let's just go right back into what you were saying about fixing Joel's hole. Joel's hole.
Right.
Hole.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
I don't think there is a fix for Joel's hole.
So Joel needs to get it cleaned out.
Yeah.
What probably. We were talking about was when you travel, setting up a way such that you can use a... Well, targeting
right.
the Chrome.
I think with the Pi, you had mentioned a Pi hole, but I think you were thinking about setting up a Linux-based router or just
correct.
Setting up DNS mask and doing some Wi-Fi sharing.
Correct.
But what I was saying was that you could do it with a travel router, and I have been looking recently for a travel router that I liked. Because you would need one with a bit more memory than what is standard for what I would do with it. And once you have it set up and you connect it to the hotel's Wi-Fi, you could then, because the problem with the Chromecast or anything like that is that you have to get through a login page to get it to use the Wi-Fi. And thing Roku, Chromecast, they don't have that ability. Now, your standard router generally doesn't either, but if you're running one with OpenWRT that allows you to SSH into it, what you can do is connect it to the network, either wired or wireless, and then use SSH forwarding into the router. So it's SSH space dash L, and then... your address, so that would be what 192.168.1.1 or 127.0.0.1 usually, and you forward port 80, so that way your device, whatever you're using, laptop, netbook, is basically forwarding all of the internet traffic from the router to that device. So then you can use the hotel's login page and log in, and now all of your devices that connect to that router can access the internet because your router is authorized.
Yep. Interesting. Of course, then the other side of that, too, that I was thinking of with the Pi, I could take which is kind of going to semi-segue into some of the other stuff I wanted to talk about tonight. The Sentio Superbook can connect to a Raspberry Pi and act, and basically I can use that, the Pi and the Superbook, to get the display going and keep the router going, and then I should be able to detach it because I can just
but you know what? Netflix still won't work.
Probably not. You know, it's probably just easier to stuff my iPad in the bag, too. But, at least for watching Netflix. It's one of the things that I was hoping for. did some more experimenting the other day with the Centio Superbook, and I was finally able to get Dex to work on a Superbook, and it works just as designed. I have to try it with them. I've got two different USB-C Dex-capable docks, and I'll have to try it with the smaller one as well. I got one that's a little bit bigger, and the one that's about the size of a... it's probably about double the length of a regular old thumb drive. In fact, it's the one, if you look at Centio's webpage, I think it's the one they actually link to there. So it's got full-size HDMI, two USB 3s, and a USB-C port that you can use for the charge adapter, so that you plug the cable coming out of the end of it into the phone. Okay. And then the HDMI port, you just fill it with the HDMI dummy, which I have several of now. And then once you plug it into the phone, it just starts Dex right up. You can actually switch back and forth between screen mirroring. And in fact, that's something I'll have to try now. I'm thinking about it, Joe. Because if I'm screen mirroring
with Netflix, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying there.
Yeah, that may work, because then that would at least get me a bigger screen on my phone to watch Netflix on. And since the phone can connect to the hotel Wi-Fi with no problems, then that might be a way. I'll have to try that here at home before I leave. But
how much? But I'm probably gonna take both of them with me.
It was $65 on eBay.
Okay.
So I mean, it's a lot cheaper if I accidentally destroy that when I'm traveling, than it is if I destroy my Surface. So, or even the iPad for that matter, you know.
But, right. Well, there's some pretty decent tablets you can get running full Linux for the $120 to $200 range.
Yep. So what I'll probably do for this trip too is I'll probably throw in both of the USB hubs and use one with the Superbook, and then when I want to watch TV or Netflix or something on TV, I'll try the screen mirroring on Dex to the TV. If that tests out okay, it might test out all right. It did work in Dex, although YouTube kind of worked to Dex. I messed around with that a little bit in YouTube. The only thing about the Superbook is it doesn't have any speakers built into it, so you could use either Bluetooth headphones or...
Well, you're running the 10. It's got some
speaker.
Pretty good speakers on it.
It's actually not too bad if you're just sitting there watching it, right in front of it watching it.
A lot of times with a lot of portable Bluetooth speakers, it's really pointless to hook it up to your 10, because the 10's audio is that good.
I don't know about that, but...
it's better than a lot of cheap Bluetooth speakers.
I got the one, the Bluetooth speaker I have that I use. Actually, I kind of use it almost every day, because what I'll do is I'll... this is kind of the one thing I absolutely love about my Galaxy Note 10 Plus, is you can have up to two different Bluetooth devices connect for audio. Two different ones connected at a time. So if I'm listening to something on the headphones as I get in the car, like if say I went to the grocery store and loaded up the car, got in the car, started it, once I flip the car stereo onto Bluetooth, it doesn't miss a beat. I'd basically just start my car, connect the phone to the Bluetooth in the car, and keep listening to the same thing I was listening on the headphones, and then just turn the headphones off. But the same thing happens when I go to take, if I don't take a shower in the morning and I wait until lunchtime to take a shower, I'll be listening to something. I'll walk into the bedroom, turn on the speaker. It connects up to the phone while I'm listening to it, turn off the headphones, and then go into the shower, and I'm still listening to the same thing. I never stop listening. So... I mean, that's the Galaxy Note phone. This phone is the only phone I've ever had that did that. The Pixel did not. It would stop, and it was a pain. But so the Bluetooth audio on the Galaxy Note 10 Plus is fantastic.
Well,
so.
Even the S7 would do that switch over.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
As long as you didn't turn the Bluetooth off, it would automatically do the switch from my headset to the car.
Right. Now I'm on my backup LG set of headphones, because my other ones completely died. One of the ship headphones. Them to me. They're already gone.
Oh, don't throw them away when they break.
Yeah.
Send them to Joe.
One of the retractors would refuse to let me pull them out anymore. It just bound up, and so.
Yeah, you should have sent it to me.
And then the other one, the other headphone, the earbud died. So
yeah, you should have sent it to me.
Anywho, one thing I would kind of try and look for when I buy a new set, I'm probably gonna buy another LG set. Actually, Sam's Club actually has a good deal on one right now because they.
Which one?
I forget which one. I'd have to look on their website to see. It's one of those deals where that this time of year is the only time they'll have them. So I'll probably go and grab one of those Friday, I think. If I don't get that, then I'm gonna get one of the other ones, like maybe the same one I ordered my son the last time he got a new one.
I've heard a lot of complaints about the 900 series, which are retractables, in regards to the microphone. Now, I know the Harman Kardon versions, the sound is pretty good, the 820s, but the volume doesn't get real loud, so there are some complaints there, at least, you know, from my perspective. The 810s seem to be that nice balance. They got really good sound, but they're not the Harman Kardons. They're the...
JBL?
JBL, thank you. They're the JBL versions, and so they sound good and have really good volume. So, and I've never had mic issues with either one of those, if you're looking for just the retractables.
Now, the one that Sam's Club has, where they currently have a whole mass of them sitting in the store, is the LG Tone Style Bluetooth neckband headset. It says HBS SL5.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the SL5.
It's a newer one. So one of the things I'm debating whether it's even important or not is whether I want to make sure that I have Bluetooth 5 or Bluetooth 4. Because the 10 Plus will support up to Bluetooth 5.
Okay, yeah, those are retractable.
These are retractable, and they actually are. They're also Bluetooth version 5. Talk times 8 hours, play time 8 hours, standby time of 18 days.
Ooh, and it's Meridian instead of Harman Kardon.
Yep.
Or JBL.
Oh, it's also USB Type-C for the charging. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Okay, that's definitely what I'm going to get.
How much are they running?
Let's see. Actually, they're currently $20 off with like instant savings.
$100 still.
Let me act like I'm gonna pick it up. It'll take me a minute. $49.88.
Okay, yeah. I see them on Amazon now for $69.85.
That's a good price. $49.88 is worth it. Because the LG headsets are just my favorites.
Well, I pick up the 820s for like $5 each. And the 810s for $5 each. And sometimes I'll get lucky and get like a set of the 770s for like $3 each.
Now, see, I thought about getting a pair of Galaxy Buds, but I'm not so sure I like those. And I think the battery life is complete shit in them.
Yeah, I mean, they're super tiny, so you can't really expect the battery to last any amount of time if they sound decent at all.
Well, basically, all it would mean is whenever I stop listening to them, I'd have to stuff it in the battery case that it comes with.
Right, you just use one side at a time and then alternate out.
Or that, yeah.
And even then, you're looking at maybe a two-hour listen time.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, and they're not. They look nice. But they're not great. So, I mean, that's why I'm probably not going to. I've always had an affinity for the LGs, every one I've had. I mean, dude, I got this one that's basically falling apart around my neck, and they still work. So they're just like my backup set. But
yeah, once again, I tell you, when they break, send them to me.
The other thing about the Synth Galaxy buzzers are also over $100. And I'm like, no. No. Not when I can get LGs for $50 and they last. I mean, I'll have a pair of LGs last me a couple years. Easy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I listen to them all the time.
A lot of mine, you know, they only last 6 months or so or 8 months. But I spend, like, all the time with a pair on.
Yeah,
I'm always rotating through. And if I'm getting them for $3 to $5 each, then I don't care that they only last 6 to 8 months.
Yep. Yeah, and I will say I do like the pair of wired headphones that came with my phone is the Samsung's AKGs. They're okay.
Yeah.
They don't seal my ears off like the LGs do, or the, even the Skull Candies.
The long stems, the short cable.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean they're not bad. I've been using them at night. When I got my Bluetooth charting. Because these the one pair of Bluetooth headphones I have right now, they will last a work day, but that's just about it. A work day, and I listen to 2 live streams almost every night on YouTube, and by the time the second stream is about over, they're about done.
Yeah, I can usually get mine to last about a day, day and a half, depending.
Yep. Yeah, I got plug them in every day, so, but. I usually have
5 pairs with me at any given time.
I have not tried. I have a dongle that I had with my Pixel 2 that I have not tried with it yet. It might work. The Pixel 2 was picky about it too, just like the Samsungs are. Some of them, what you'll find is depending on the phone, some of the phones will basically just use a couple of the extra ports on the USB-C cable as analog audio. Some of them want your dongle to be a actual sound card. So
yeah,
and it has to be one that's supported.
I've ordered like 4 or 5 for the Note 10 Plus and tested them out, and exactly one has worked.
I'll have to see. The one I have that I was using with my Pixel 2 is actually one that Google sells.
Yeah,
so that one may work.
I know the Samsung ones cost a lot for what they do.
Mm-hmm. And Darren, I will say this, as much as I kind of still a little bit miss the headphone jack, I find that when I do use the wired adapters, I don't know about you, but I think they sound better than just the straight up old board.
It might sound better, but a lot of them... or at least the one I got just seemed to be missing some volume.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sound quality is good. It's just it's not very loud. Maybe I'm just old and deaf. I did grow up around artillery.
Mm-hmm. But so far the Superbook. Worked really well once I finally got it going. It was just a simple USB cable. One of my USB-C cables kind of worked. They worked fine for screen mirroring, but when it came to DeX, it wouldn't work. I switched to one of my other USB-C cables, and lo and behold, it worked. So Friday, I'm probably going to go ahead and order a couple more cables so that I have some spares and get rid of some of the dead ones I have.
And I would be more interested in the Superbook if they weren't getting rid of Linux on DeX.
Yeah.
Or if there was somebody else doing something extremely similar.
Speaking of that, there is a change.org petition to open source that.
Yeah, they should.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I don't understand why they haven't already.
Right. If they're going to dump it and not use it anymore, why not open source it and let other people work with it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it also makes me wonder what they're going to do with DeX to begin with.
Well, DeX will still be around. It's just the Linux on DeX.
Right. So we'll have to see what happens with Linux on DeX. It's kind of unfortunate that Samsung has basically pulled it right now.
Well, you say right now.
Yeah, like I said, right now. If it's open source, then, that opens it up and makes it better than it ever was before.
Let's see, I went from the 7 to the 10 Plus, or the Note 10 Plus. So I missed all of the phones that actually had Linux on
them. Yeah, me too.
Right. So I'm wondering, because I know when you set up Linux, like AN Linux or something like that, so you set it up on your own on an Android phone, that it has a lot of permissions issues and there isn't much that you can do with it. Was it the same for Linux on Dex? Or did they find a way around those issues?
I think probably the bigger problem right now is that Samsung's trying to transition to Android 10, and Android 10 is probably the biggest issue that's holding up Linux on Dex. Because
yeah, but Android I'm just wondering 10, about the Linux on Dex that was there. Did it have those right. permissions issues?
Good question.
Or even, you know, if you're using VNC into an Android box, there are problems that stem from that. I mean, you can't really run VLC all that well, and you can't kick off Chrome all that well without doing a lot to get that to work.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not running on a native screen.
Yeah, I mean there's a, let me see how many signatures we have in a petition right now. Let's see, there are, if it can stop doing its thing, 350, only 359 so far. So I don't think that's gonna.
When did they open fly. The petition?
Like last week.
Yeah, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough. There was plenty of academic interest in Linux on Dex, but then not enough actual people were using it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, then you got the cases where, like, one of the neater things that I saw in the recent years is, like, the ACES thing we talked about two or three, for the last two or three shows, which was really not available here in the United States. It was only available in Europe, I think, you know?
Yeah, it just never took off here.
Well, it never took off there either, because the device that you plug the phone into costs as much as just buying a straight-up tablet to begin with.
You might as well buy a tablet and have two devices.
Exactly, exactly. So, I mean, you know, and I guess for some people, you know, the way I describe how like, the current landscape with portable devices including laptops, you got your notepad, which is your phone. So that does, you know, you can do a lot with that, but then you got like a tablet or something, which is like a spiral bound notebook, you know, and then you go up further and your laptop is more like a three ring binder. And then you go up further. And a desktop is like a filing cabinet. So on and so forth, and that's at least they're comparatively. Graybeard, Dex. What Dex is? Is are you asking like what Dex is? Like, is it actually Linux on top of Android, or is it just to me? It's just a desktop interface to Android. Yeah, Dex is a Samsung only thing right now at the moment, and they originally sold. Specific docks. So the dock you would have your monitor, a keyboard, and a mouse connected to it, drop your phone into it, and then you would have a full desktop. Now, with the recent versions, the S10, the Galaxy Note 10, you no longer need a specific dock. Basically, anything that can add HDMI to your phone can let you use the Dex interface on a screen, like on a TV or something like that. So several of the, yeah, Linux on Galaxy maybe before, I don't know. But several of the docks, like, are they're just straight up USB-C docks, the same kind of dock you would buy to add to a standard laptop or a MacBook that had only USB or Thunderbolt out. So, but, you know, of course, not as powerful as a true Thunderbolt dock, but good enough to get this going on it. It'll do what it's supposed to do, what, 4K 30, I think? I can't remember what the frame rate is, but I know it'll go all the way up to 4K, or supposed to anyway.
Okay.
That's what she said.
That is indeed what she said.
Mm-hmm. So Dan was talking about his Honda adventures.
No, hold on. Before we jump off.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Now, you were talking about the, what was it? The Asus pad phone. No, yeah. I wanted to bring up the something else that, you know, almost came to market, but there really wasn't enough interest, and I guess the tech just wasn't there. And I was wondering, do you remember the Neptune Suite or the Neptune Hub? Because it went by both names.
I do not.
It's
vaguely
basically,
remember that.
No, because they came out with the Neptune Pine, which was a smartphone that was a watch. And then it had a smaller screen. And that did Indiegogo, and it came out, and the resolution wasn't that great. But they did come out, and it was a watch phone. And then so the same company tried for the Neptune Hub, which was a smartwatch, which would then connect to either a hub that you could have connected to a TV, or it would connect to a display about the size of a phone, or a display about the size of a tablet, and that tablet had a keyboard, or it could connect to a couple of other accessories that it had. What was it? A earbud necklace that could also be used for charging. It had the dongle for the TV, and then tab and keys. But I never actually saw anything hit the market with it, so I'm assuming that it never actually went anywhere.
They have a really nice web page.
Yeah.
And the only thing is this big giant subscribe button, so you can say, I want this. I'm like, whatever.
Right, and the Indiegogo page, which is still around, says it's closed. But then if you look at updates, the last update was May 18th, 2018, and they were talking about still wanting to ship, but haven't done so yet. And then the update before that was September 29th, 2016.
And it's crap like this, the Hybrix, and our lamented Jide, which has completely turned me off both Indiegogo and Kickstarter, because I'm like, I'm not paying for something that is going to come out and basically be another piece of Chinese crap that will only be supported for 3 months. See, and that's why, that's kind of a little bit why I'm not excited about the Pinebook or the Pinebook Pro, because I'm when I had that Pinebook of riches here, I could get stuff running on it, but a lot of it was older stuff, not most of the update things there were, and there wasn't
painful,
a clear path.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, there wasn't a clear path to keep it up to date. Really the same thing as my Hybrix, you know, in a lot of cases, except for just a little bit better, because you can run a full Linux on it versus the Remix OS. What I was kind of interested in, though, and it kind of got inspired a little bit by, I was listening to Bad Voltage the other day, where either Bad Voltage or no, not Bad Voltage, SLMR, where Tom was talking about running Pop OS, which is System 76's version of Ubuntu. So I went to the Pop OS page to download the ISO, and which you can do. It's open source and free. And I noticed that two specific models of laptops that System 76 sells have an open source BIOS or firmware.
Which is cool.
Based on OpenCore. Based on OpenCore. See, and it's one of those things where I want to buy something like that. Yeah, I want to put money behind it, but I also don't want to put money behind it and then have it just be the version you got is the version you got. Make it so I can keep a laptop for 10 years and have it still be semi-useful. I think it's the Galago Pro and the Darda Pro. There are top two laptops. Oh, although, hold on, there's one more that's a little bit more powerful, and that's the Oryx. But the two that run Core Boot are the Galago Pro and the Darda Pro. And that would be the Galago Pro is a 14-inch LCD. The Darter Pro is a 15-inch.
How much are they?
Starting at $949 for the Galago. And the Darter starts at $999.
Which one are you buying for all of us?
Yeah, right. None. But the Galago has a 14-inch 1080p matte display, not the glossy stuff. 10th gen Intel Whoa. Core i5 or Core i7.
Just don't let Manfry hear you talking about this. All right.
Yeah, he had an issue. Didn't they have his credit card stolen?
Something like they thought like something got flagged with the credit card, and they had to report it. And the police came to his house and stuff like that. It was all like a big misunderstanding, but it left a really, bad taste and justifiably in Manfry's mouth in regards to it. So yeah,
it was also I think he also had a problem with the power supply for it too. But you can get either the Core i5 10 to 10U, which runs from 1.6 gig to 4.2 gig, 4 cores, 8 threads. Both of them are 4 core, 8 threads, no matter which one you get, although the Core i7 can go a little bit faster. Intel UHD graphics, up to 64 gigs of RAM, USB-C Type-C with Thunderbolt, 3.1 Type-A, and an SD card reader. Backlit keyboard, gigabit Ethernet, wireless AC, and Bluetooth 5. Shitty 720p HD webcam, which is enough for Zoom calls. That's the Galaga. I'd love to buy one, but I'm not really in the market for a new laptop at this point. Everything I have works well. Dun, dun. I'd rather buy, if I was going to buy a gadget like that, I'd rather buy one of those USB-C / Thunderbolt portable monitors. I'd love to have one of those.
Yeah, we talked about those a couple of times, but I think you also have to have an adapter to get Dex working, so that way you can
you have to have that anyway.
A HDMI hooked up.
Correct. I already have that.
Okay.
I want it more for my home workstation here than Dex. Because I got the Dex solution I've got worked out already. I do want to get, I'd like to get one of the, there is a company that makes a battery, like a power bank, that comes with the Surface connector, so that I can connect it up to my Surface. It also has some of these standard ports on it too. See, a lapel 15-inch 1080p display, 169. The nice thing is, if I really wanted to take it with me, I could, because it would fit in the same place an iPad would fit, and would probably be just about as durable. And doesn't require a power supply.
Oy, oy, oy.
Meanwhile, Dan would just like to have a laptop from this century.
Well, hold on. Wait.
I'm just poking you.
No, you have every right to poke me. I think this laptop I had, like my newest laptop, is from 2016.
Okay, there you go. So that's 17? From this century. There you go. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
It's not that old, and the hardware runs, you know, and it works great.
How big's the hard drive, though?
Well, the hard drive bit the dust. It used to be like...
Oh.
Yeah, so this is like... I had to put an older hard drive in there, which is only like, you know, laugh. Take a guess at how much it is. Hold on.
That's 64 gigabytes.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Okay, 128.
No. Wait, what did you say? 64 gigabytes?
Yeah.
You said that originally?
Yeah.
It's about 100. It's like close to 100 gigabytes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I'm double checking here. 22 and 76. So it's about It's about 100 years.
See, I keep fighting with wanting to build a desktop because I haven't built a desktop in over 10 years now.
It's not an SD either. Wait, is that what I'm looking for?
An SSD, yeah.
SSD, no, it's not an SSD either. I don't think it is. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. I forget.
You can put one in it.
Yeah, I know. I can't. I just got to buy one, right?
Right.
Like, at this point, I'm like, I don't know if I want to go through the hassle of replacing everything again. I could clone it. Over.
Or you can just buy a new laptop at some point and be good.
I'm fine with what I have. You know, even though it's all old stuff, it still runs really good. So I'm not complaining about that. And wait, you had just said, what did you just say there?
I don't know.
Oh, you were saying, you were thinking about making a desktop.
Oh, yeah, making a desktop, yeah.
To which I would say, why?
Yeah, I don't. That's a good question. That's a really good question.
Yeah,
and that's why I haven't done one yet.
I mean, I use a set top out in the garage, or you know, just a mini PC. It's a gigabit bricks that I got for like $25.
See, it's more. It's Dan. It's not. It's more. The why is more like just because I can and I haven't done it in a while, and which is why I haven't done it.
Yeah, but unless you're going to use it for gaming and you're going to put a nice graphics card in there, right, there's not a whole lot of a point in building a desktop anymore.
True.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to say. Like, unless I would say the gaming, I would absolutely agree with. And I'm wondering if maybe like
gaming or video, render machine,
video, yeah, and like graphics stuff, maybe.
Or like, if you're also going to use it as a server at the same time as you're using it as a desktop, then yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's that. But other than that, I'm like, I'm not sure what advantage. Like, it'd be actually a disadvantage because you can't, like, a laptop.
Can't you can take just move it with
around.
You.
You can do something with it. Yeah, you're not going anywhere with that desktop.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be the only thing I'd want to build one for, is for basically a high-end video editing station. But dude, I video edit on my Surface Pro just fine, and is it as fast as I want it to be? No, but it works. And then if I want something, I have to test the renders between the Surface Pro and my Lenovo YogaBook and see which one renders faster. Because the YogaBook has a NVIDIA card in it, and my Surface doesn't. Right. So,
and for about the cost of, you know, building a desktop, probably a little less, you can get a decent Nook, or you can get a Skull Canyon Nook if you're planning on doing video editing or light gaming. It's not going to do your really intensive gaming because it really needs its own graphics card at that point.
See, the only other reason I might build one would be to just put massive amounts of freaking storage in it and be done with it.
Using
it
as a server as well.
Yep. But I can do that with if I bought something like a which one do you
external
have?
External storage. Yeah.
No, Pat. Which don't you have an NAS device still? They got
what's
him.
What's that USB one that you have, Dan? I know we talked about it before.
The USB what?
The USB, not RAID controller, but enclosure for hard drives.
The ProBox?
Yeah.
Yeah,
ProBox.
The ProBox.
You know, something you can fit two large hard drives in or four large hard drives in and hook up to it. And as long as you're using USB 3 or USB-C, you're going to get, or eSATA for that matter, you're going to get really good speeds. You're not going to be limited by it.
You see, what I was thinking about is like a QNAP or a Synology box.
Right, something completely separated from the computer itself.
Yep.
But then you're limited by your network.
True. But I have gig on my network, so not really. Would be nice. Yeah, I would look for like a QNAP that has a dual Ethernet ports on it so I can combine them into one, which you can do with some of them.
Yeah.
And like, for example, here's this QNAP 4-bay NAS that comes with 4 terabytes of Seagate Iron Wolf drives pre-configured into RAID 5. It's a little expensive, $929, but you got 4 terabytes. It's got the actual CPU on board is an Intel Celeron J3 455 quad core. It can do 4K hardware transcoding. Dual 4K. It actually has HDMI out, so basically I will just park this next to my router, which is right next to my TV, and I can just hook it into my TV switch and be able to use it to watch video right on board of it, or right on board, so I don't have to go over the network when I'm watching video. So, and I'm sure this is on the high side. I'm sure there are other ones that are cheaper than this that have the similar features.
Right.
So something like that, it might be more effective. Probably the thing I would love if there was an open source project out there would be a video / picture cataloging software that's more than just the desktop, like a Lightroom or Darkroom, something that keeps track of them. It can be web-based. I don't give a crap, but just something that can possibly use either Google or some other AI to help identify what you have. Because keeping track of a lot of the stuff that I've recorded over the years is becoming a pain in the butt. Because I don't know what I've done. And I'll think, I did something like that. I flew the drone at Silver Strand Beach, but now I can't find a video. 9 times out of 10, I upload it to Google Photos. But a lot of times, I mean, right. the original 4K clip, the one on Google Photos, isn't 4K anymore.
You should be able to do that with Plex as well.
That may
not be a not making it searchable or anything like
right.
that. But you can put home videos on Plex, having 4K is not going to be a problem.
Right.
Other than streaming it over a network, but
right, yeah, but so probably something like that, would be something I need to start looking into saving for, because right now I'm just relying on an external hard drive. Plus, I got a Pi with a bunch of drives hanging off of it right now, and it's definitely not ideal.
Yeah, I got to bust out the Pi 3s, and then get a Pi 4 as well. I got a couple of projects I want to do while I'm traveling for holidays.
It just kind of one of the things is, like, if you ever watch Barnacles, he just posted a thing where he's got a Synology's new, like, 16 drive bay disk station thing, and I'm like, how can I get on their list of sending stuff to?
Right.
To not write a review on, because he doesn't even do that. I don't know how they keep sending him stuff, but he hardly makes any videos at all. He'll put stuff on Jitter, and I throw him a buck because I do like his content. So I've been throwing him a buck for over a year now, a buck a month, so I could see his Jitter stuff where he, and I know he's been having some health issues, but still,
true.
I'm like, but he gets a system made by Puget Systems in Washington for nothing. And it's like, come on.
I had Clem help me request a Mint box for review and still couldn't get one.
That was that desktop-y kind of Mint thing?
Yeah, but we were trying to get a review model of the Mint Box 3, which is basically a full-on, like, expensive desktop. I mean, it's not the little mini thing that the 2 was. And, company said, no, we're not doing that.
I didn't even know they made a Mint Box 3. That's kind of nice to
know. Yeah,
it's
coming up still. I don't think it's actually released yet, but it should be soon now.
Reminds me of the Boxy Box. Do you remember that, Dan?
It sounds familiar.
It does sound familiar. What was the Boxy Box?
Boxy was a the software package that was based on, I think it was based on originally XBMC, but D-Link made something called the Boxy Box, which was based on Boxy, had a keyboard on the back of its remote. I'll put a link on Amazon. There's still a link on Amazon. In fact, it's available from some sellers.
Hey, let me see.
But it was originally made by D-Link back in the day.
I don't think I had one, though.
I didn't either. I won one. I had the NeuroSlink, which I don't have anymore because it's just gone and dead.
Oh, man! Wait, do I still have mine?
Your what? OSD?
Was it the NeuroSlink OSD, right?
Well, there was the Neuros OSD. The NeuroSlink was essentially a PC.
The one I won from you.
The one from me.
Remember that? Was it Life in Ohio or something that you gave?
No, I didn't give away anything on Life in Ohio.
I got a neuro. Like, you did something either on.
Maybe it was Blink that did something. Probably didn't do it.
No, I got it from you.
Really?
Yeah, you had run some competition. What was it? What's the place you do the reviews for?
Gear Diary? I don't think so, but
it was something that you had done something, and I'm almost positive it was you, because you're the only other person I knew that talked. You talked with Joe a few times.
Didn't
you?
Joe Bourne, yeah. Well, we've had him on the show.
We did have him on the show, but before, I think, I don't know. You had, it was before you had like come on as a regular host here. That's how long ago it was.
So long ago, I don't even remember.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure I got it from you, and I had it for a while, and you know, I hadn't used it in a couple of years, and I was like, I don't even think, like, what would
sure,
you do
wasn't
with
that
it?
Little, sure, what, it wasn't that little recorder they had before the OSD. I don't know. I'm disappointed that the
it was the Neuros OSD. It was that little device that had the remote. Yeah, it was that, and
we gave away some at some of the Linux Fest too. I remember,
but I like you had gotten a few of them or something. Somehow you ended up with an extra one that you had ended up with, and you gave
I
like
do
you
not
had
remember.
Some kind of raffle and. I had happened to, I put my name in for it, and it was, I'm trying to remember what it was for. And somehow I'm almost pod. Well, anyway, go on. Sorry.
Now, there didn't really seem to be a lot of the support for set-top boxes unless they're Rokus or Fireboxes or Fire Sticks anymore. Definitely nothing new.
So you know what we found out? Like, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, speaking of that. It's like, our Roku, we have a Roku stick that we use upstairs in the bedroom, and it works wonderful. It works great. The only problem we have with it is that the remote doesn't work anymore, or I should say the okay or select button doesn't work on the remote, and I took it apart, and the reason is there's a plastic film that goes over it, and then there's some kind of a conductive material that almost looks like graphite, but it's like adhered to that plastic, so it's got like a plastic film that's indented where the little push buttons are, and when you push a button in, it makes contact through that. I'm not exactly sure what it's called, but it's kind of like a little bit of some kind of metallic substance that is onto that plastic, adhered to that plastic. And there are ways that you can fix it, but it's just such a pain in the butt. You can get that material to refresh it in there, but it's something like it's like $10 to $15 to get it. You can buy a new remote, but any of those things that you do, you're almost like at the point of buying a whole new Roku stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, what? We just use it with the phones right now. The phone remote works fine. You just have to keep reconnecting when your phone uses. It's a little bit of a pain in the butt.
That's actually, well, my TV is a Roku. So it's remote is a Roku remote. It came with the Hitachi TV that I bought. And 9 times out of 10, I'm using the Roku app on my phone to control it. I very rarely will find that remote. It's great because I always have a remote on me because my phone's always on me, but...
How many HDMI ports does your TV have?
Not enough. I've got a switch now, and I got four or five things. One of these days I should buy like an amplifier and some speakers, but I just don't see the point. As long as I got a Switch, I'm fine. It can, the speakers on the TV aren't the greatest, but they're good enough.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I have a because I don't really have, I actually probably don't even have a need for a Switch as big as I got. I have like a 4-port HDMI Switch, which itself also has a remote on it. And then I have that, and then anything connected into that, I would have like, I don't even think I got my Chromecast connected into it, because I think my TV, my new TV, latest TV I have in the living room has enough ports on it. I got the Chromecast on one, and I had the cable box and like the Xbox and a Nintendo, the SNES Mini, you know, the little mini.
Right.
And that's it. I don't have a cable box connected to it because we got rid of cable. We're just using Fubo TV. And the Xbox is still there. I think the Wii finally gave up the ghost. My son doesn't really want another set-top box, so I don't know if I'm going to ever... And it's an Xbox 360. It's not even an Xbox One.
Because my TV downstairs only has two HDMI ports on it. And that sucks, because I have...
Yes, it does.
A PlayStation 3, a PlayStation, and we used to have the Wii hooked up to with that, and the Switch. And it's just like... If somebody wants to use a PlayStation 3, they got to unplug either the PlayStation 4 Switch. I had tried. I had bought an HDMI Switch a long time ago, and it doesn't work. Like, it doesn't work with the PlayStation. I guess you have to have like a certain kind of Switch, and like most of them aren't running, supported.
Yeah, you run into HDCP issues, which is HD copy protection.
And I'm like, man, what? It was kind of a waste of money buying this damn thing. And I think a Switch to do it is like, you're getting close to buying a TV then. You know, so.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that.
Really? Well, when I was looking, I couldn't find a Switch that would actually work. Like, nothing was recommended. Like, people were saying it might work, but it probably won't.
Let me find the one that I have. It does work. I will say this. I did have to go round and round because the first one that I got didn't work. So I had to get a return it. Well, actually not return it. I just had to get another one.
Actually, that's a good point. I haven't looked in years. This was like... This is way back, I think, when I had the Wii hooked up. Let me see what. HDMI Switch.
Now, the ones that I have bought in the past was the AGP Tech 5-port. 1.3 HDMI splitter switch box. That one I bought for my son and it worked.
Maybe I should give it a try again. I mean, they have a lot better compatibility.
This is true.
Although I have to make sure that it's going to work.
I probably need to upgrade mine at some point. The one I one similar one to the one I have is the Kinevo 55 or 550BN 4K HDMI switch with IR wireless remote. It does it's 5 ports, 4K, 60 hertz HDR, high speed, 18 gigabytes gigabit per second auto switching. It's $46. And there you go.
Wait, how much is it?
I just put the link in the IRC. It's $46.
Yeah, there's one I was just looking at, ZenGuard. It was rated pretty high. It says it does work with the PlayStation. I'll have to check the one you're talking about, too.
Yeah, I think it does. I know it works with my Xbox, so my Xbox 360. So, which isn't 4K, but and I don't think I actually have this version of it. I think mine's just the regular 1080p version, which is fine for the moment. One of these point days, yeah. Like I said, I generally don't need to use the Switch all that much. The things I got connected to the Switch aren't 4K anyway, so it doesn't
every
make sense.
Every time you
though.
Say Switch, I keep thinking of like the Nintendo Switch.
And the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, you have a Switch, right?
I don't. I kind of want one, and I'm debating whether I want to get the straight-up regular Switch or the Switch Lite.
I'd probably
never play it on the TV.
Well, I don't know, man. When you play it on the TV, sometimes it's really freaking cool. I mean, I love the Switch, but...
But, you know, for $199, the Nintendo Switch Lite ain't a bad deal. Not to mention the fact you can pick a color. Not that I give a crap about that. But the thing is, though, is most of the games I'd play on the Switch aren't even the new releases necessarily. I'd like to have some of the emulation stuff that's on there. You know, like... some of the old Mario games and
right.
Maybe the Zelda. I'm not as into Zelda. I never really got into Zelda.
You never got into Zelda?
Nope. Keep in mind.
I got into the original Zelda game, and that was about it.
I was in college when the Nintendo. Yeah, I was in college when the NES came out, so. I just didn't have time for it back then.
I think I was significantly younger.
Probably.
How old are you?
I'm 48.
Yeah, younger.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say the original, you're talking about the original Nintendo Entertainment System Zelda.
The NES.
Gold
right.
cartridge. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's dangerous to go alone. Take the sword, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a fun game.
Was that the last one you played?
You know, I've touched some of the others, but it's the last one that I really dedicated any time to.
You see, I can't think of... I mean... I'm looking at their page now, and the top half of the page, I'm not interested in any of the games. Luigi's Mansion 3, the Pokemon games, Super Lucky's Tale, Just Dance 2020, meh. Let's see what kind of new releases they have. Oh, some of those were the new releases. Overwatch might be okay. Wolfenstein Youngblood might be good too.
You got the Link's Awakening. This is the remake.
There you go. There you go, Dan. Tetris 99. That would work in my house. In the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, Nintendo Switch Online, which is free. Super Kirby Clash is also free. So is Tetris 99, for that matter.
Damn.
See, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 might be something I'd play.
The what Chronicles? Oh, Xenoblade.
Xenoblade, yeah. Oh, Wolfenstein 2, the new Colossus might be cool, too.
Oh, Xenoblade Chronicles.
Skyrim is also on it. I never finished it on the 360, and I'm almost afraid to turn it on. because the last time I turned it on, I lost a day and a half. Literally.
Yeah, Skyrim is one of those games.
Have you seen the game called Arms, Nan?
Yeah.
Which I think was a launch title. Yeah. That I played in the store, and I thought that's cool. And Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is a must-buy, because I love Mario Kart.
Are you still playing Skyrim, Joe?
I haven't played in a while. I know
I've never
started
beat
another character a while back. Yeah, it's one of those games that a lot of players didn't beat, despite the fact that they threw hundreds and hundreds of hours at it, getting their character developed and everything, and doing all the side quests, and then getting bored right about the time it came to finish the game.
And that's why I'm not turning it on.
That's exactly the same problem I had, Joe. In fact, I really played, like, I completely forgot what I was supposed to do for the main quest.
Right, right.
You know, and then by the time I got, like, I'm like, I did all this stuff, I'm like, I got so sick of just, like, it was like everything was sneak around, shoot him in the ass, rinse.
Too much fucking churn.
And repeat, right?
Right. And you know, you're sneaky. There's only, like, two types of characters that people actually built. Your sneaky backstabbers or your sneaky archers. And that's it. The bonuses to damage was just too good to do anything else, that make any kind of magic user. It was kind of pointless.
I tried playing as a magic user for a while. And I was doing all right.
You ended up
but
as a sneaky archer, didn't you?
Well, this is what I always end up going back to.
That's what everybody ends up going back to. You're either a sneaky archer or a sneaky backstabber. And the great thing about the sneaky backstabbers...
Or you're dead.
Right.
I mean, you can go on YouTube and find videos of people one-shotting dragons with a knife.
Yeah.
See, it's a giant first world problem.
When I played the magic user, I leveled up in load time. That was my proficiency. Loading time. Load screen.
Load time.
That and profanity.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of that.
It's like you die and all of a sudden you're like, what the fuck?
Oh, absolutely.
What the fuck did I do? I don't know.
You know, did you play Wild Hunt? Witcher 3?
No.
Wild Hunt?
You know, I tried playing Witcher 2 and just for some reason I couldn't seem to get into it.
Like, I will say the difficulty that I would have going back to Skyrim is that, like, I know there are now better games, like better mechanics. Like, Skyrim was a great game. But to go back to those mechanics and the limitations of Skyrim, even though it was a great game, I find, like, difficult to go back to. Like, Witcher was phenomenal.
Right.
Like, and even that is starting now to show a little bit of its day age.
I loved playing Morrowind, but I don't know if I could go back and play it all the way through again.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still a big fan of Arcanum. Of Steamworks and Magic is what I remember it being called, but a really fun game to play through, but I know the graphics are terrible and it would be great to get it running, but I really doubt I'd be able to play it all the way through again.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's like Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
Like the new Baldur's Gate stuff and the remakes and everything. I'm like, oh man, this looks awesome. And I loved playing Baldur's Gate, but I'm like, do I have the time and the patience to do that again? Like, it was such a fun time, I remember, but like, that is a huge time sink. And it's like, it's a point and click kind of thing now, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a different world, too, now. I mean, now we've got the streaming services, that's like, you know, now you got Google Stadia. I'm not interested in that. But we've got Google Stadia. We've got the Switch, you know, the various console boxes. You got PC games. You've got YouTube. You've got podcasts. It's like, and I look at it and says, where do video games fit in my list? They are casual things I play. So for me, the Switch is actually probably the ideal gaming system for me to buy because it's casual, and yeah, a lot of the games are casual, and I don't have to invest a lot of freaking time into it. That's why I've never finished Skyrim, because I loved the game, even on the Xbox 360, as old as that system is still a beautiful game. But it's like, I don't want to get that sucked into the game again. I don't want to lose a day and a half just being, you know, a whole weekend being stuck in the game system like that. That's how bad I just don't. I avoid turning that game on because of that. And I don't want to get stuck into that for other stuff.
But, you know, I kind of also did the same thing with Borderlands 2, and I still kind of do. I mean, I'm playing through Salvador right now, trying to get him all the way up to level 80 and play Commander Lilith's DLC again. But, you know, so my projects are maybe suffering a little bit here and there, but I don't have a lot on my plate otherwise right now. My wife does enjoy watching me play Borderlands, and I'm watching her play Borderlands while talking to you guys right now. So
yeah, and my son is weird in that he has a 3DS, and his favorite game is the Animal Crossing games. He'll spend hours dinking with the Animal Crossing game. I can't get into that game. I never could. It's like Farmville to me.
Yeah, I find that. I love to play games, but I find that my patience and my time for certain types of games, like crafting heavy games, I don't really get into. Well, Minecraft is the biggest example.
Minecraft is
cool. And I like it's neat, but I'm like, I don't have the time to sink into Minecraft right now. Right.
And Fortnite's another one of those that I just look at that and I'm like, no.
That's one of the nice things about Borderlands, Borderlands 2, and hopefully, which I haven't played yet, Borderlands 3, is you can play through and then just run completely through the game with whatever you actually find in the game. Or you can put in that extra effort and, you know, play freaking through DLC with the character two or three times, get the DLC, farm the really awesome weapons, and you know, do the most that you can with your character. Or if you really want to, I guess, play online, which I don't do hardly at all. So you can put that extra work in if you want to. Now, granted, I think Skyrim was the same way. I mean, you didn't have to do all the side quests and stuff, except as much as you needed to be able to level up to finish the game. But you could finish it a whole lot earlier than most people did.
Oh, yeah, but they made it too cool that you didn't want to, you know.
Right, you wanted to put that extra into crafting.
Like, I don't think anybody starts off, like, they get into Skyrim and they're like, man, I'm just going to go finish the game.
Oh,
like,
right.
You get sucked into it, and it's so wonderful until
and then the next thing you know, you've spent the last 30 hours freaking banging out stuff on an anvil.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But then that's the thing. Like, the problem I had with that game was it was fun and awesome until it was not anymore. It was just like, I'm sick of doing this. I gotta go do something else.
I don't like games with a lot of DLC either, because I'm like, I like old school games where you went out and bought the game and that was that. You went through the game, you beat it, you moved on. You know, and games aren't about that anymore. Once you beat it, oh, you want to play it with this color car? It's like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't want to. I don't want to.
Well, there are certain other games that, you know, did have other content,
right?
And other things that you could do, and other ways you could even finish the game, alternate endings. I mean,
yeah, those
look
are
at the
cool.
Genesis version of Shadowrun. There was just. I've gone back through and tried to get some of the stuff that I got on my original playthrough, and I couldn't find some of the characters that were in it.
Well, it's like the add-ons. Like I remember I was into the Wing Commander series pretty heavily back in the day, you know, back when 286s and 386s were a thing, you know? And I did buy the Secret Missions disc and a few of the others, and those were fine. Those added actually fun content to it. But to me, buying a different color skin or paying to get a certain costume in Fortnite, no. Won't do it. Granted, I'm old.
Right. No, I understand you not wanting certain skins, but the places with the stuff that you can buy, the microtransactions you can buy that don't really impact
gameplay.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. So your free players, the people that can't afford the biggest gun, they still have an opportunity there.
Right.
They just don't have a pretty skin. Woo.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just give me, I'm more satisfied firing up like an older game like Pac-Man or something and playing that for a half an hour and then putting it down and, I'm done, for the moment. I will say I do enjoy watching some of the game collectors like Metal Jesus. His stuff's fun to watch on YouTube. And some of that other stuff, and it is 10 o'clock.
Oh damn!
10:08, actually.
Wow, when are you getting Borderlands 3, Joe?
Probably when it comes out on Steam in another 3-4 months.
Wait, it's not out yet.
Oh, it's out. That's right. It's on Epic.
Wasn't it on Epic first?
Yeah, it's on Epic right now.
Right.
That's right. They announced it.
And for the first 6 months, it'll be out on Epic only. Or on Xbox One, I guess I could get that, but I'm not going to. So
the one thing you need to bring up before we go is, has anybody got Disney Plus yet?
Doesn't it start on the 12th?
No, it's already started. In fact, their servers crashed the first day. They signed up 10 million users day.
That's right. Mandalorians starts this month.
No, it's already started. It's already started.
No, I thought Mandalorian started on the 12th.
Chapter 1's out.
Wait, like the 12th of
the first
November?
Episode? I thought that was weekly releases. Yes.
No, Chapter 1's out.
Yesterday. Okay.
Yes, so, it was.
Started yesterday. And aren't they doing weekly releases for the Mandalorian, or are they...
Yes.
Did they do it all at once? Okay.
Yep. They're doing weeklies. Which, that's the only show I'd want to watch. Now, granted...
Now, there's another show that they're supposed to have on, like, the 29th of this month or something, but I don't remember what it is, because I wanted
to... they're getting a whole bunch of the Marvel content, like the Wanda series is going to be there. I think Vision's getting a series, too, if I remember right. A few of the other Marvel characters are getting series.
Falcon and
right, Captain America.
Winter Soldier.
Loki,
right.
Falcon and Winter Soldier,
right. So those Falcon are coming, but and I can technically get a free year of Disney Plus, but I'd have to switch my Verizon plan, and I don't want to do that.
No, I'm good.
I actually, what I need to do is I need to call them, because right now with my existing plan, I got like 20% off because of who I work for. What I want to know is can I can retain, because if I can retain that discount and I switch to one above the low end for myself and Luke, which would get us the 5G when it comes to Columbus for nothing, and then the straight up base plan for my wife, if I can save money on my Verizon bill that way, I'll do it. But if I can't, that I'm not switching, and it's not worth me trying to sign it up for. But from my understanding, you can also get Disney Plus with a bundle of Hulu as well. So it's like $12 or $13 for Hulu, which would also give you Disney Plus and ESPN Plus.
Well, so, I thought it was Hulu
or something like that.
Hulu and Disney, but ESPN wasn't in that bundle or something. Like, there was more.
I don't know. It doesn't matter to me if ESPN's in it or not. But if I don't need another streaming service. If I do that, I may turn Netflix off. Because I don't watch that much on Netflix anymore. But I'm gonna try to hang out and wait until the last season of The Ranch comes out, Because that's really the last thing on Netflix that I really want to watch other than back catalog, you know?
Masters of the Universe is coming.
I don't care about that.
It depends on how they do it.
Right.
It really does.
I
don't care
about that, yeah. You know,
If they get Dolph Lundgren to come back and be He-Man, I will watch every minute of it.
It's an animation. It's not live.
Well, there you go.
Once again, depends on how they do the animation.
Right.
I mean, if it looks like Adventure Time, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah. Well, it's like I got into Voltron. The first season
it'll
was
fine.
It'll
probably look like Voltron.
Yeah. You know, I'm like, you know, they're not doing anything I like, and I don't want Apple TV either. I can also get that for nothing, too. Practically nothing, but I don't want it. You know, one of the new series that hasn't started yet that I kind of want is the Peacock service. And the reason of that is they're bringing out the Battlestar Galactica series.
Which is stupid.
Well, it's one of those depends how they do it things, you know. I think they're trying to continue. I don't know if they're trying to continue or restart the RDM universe. I don't know.
I don't know. It's just too soon.
They're not doing Buck Rogers again. They did the, you know, it was what, a radio, then the original TV. And then the 80s one, and that's it. And maybe the comic book, too. But
right, there's been more attempts with Flash Gordon than there has been with Buck Rogers.
Oh, absolutely. And Buck Rogers would be an update with Buck Rogers. Are you kidding me? I'd watch that. As long as the dude doesn't look like Gil Gerard, I'm perfectly fine with that. Gil looked fine for the 70s, but nowadays, whoo!
We got to wrap this crap up.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Joe, tell us how wonderful Disney Plus is when you get it this week.
I'm not getting it.
And I'm not either at this point.
I will probably get it. I mean, I already have Hulu, so if I just stop Hulu and get Disney Plus, I can. If I want Hulu, then another couple of dollars.
Let me rephrase. If Netflix completely tanks,
right,
I'll switch.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not switching, man. I like my Netflix.
I like Netflix too. I'm just saying, if this really does undercut Netflix's business the way everybody thinks that it will, or well, the way a lot of people think it will, then I'll make the switch.
Well, someone's thinking the same thing about Apple TV, which no, you know, I don't know. Yeah, you know, so I'm like, there's just almost too many options now, and at some point, I see. Like Disney Plus, either Disney Plus sucking up others, or others sucking up others. You know, like
there's going to be some convergence.
It needs to happen. We're getting to the point where there's so many services. It's, you know, I mean,
yeah, we're just
TV soon.
The next thing that'll happen is that there will be companies that will offer bundle packages,
right,
for all these different services that you can get them all together at a discount overall price, and then you might as well have cable companies again.
Yeah, well, you got YouTube TV, you for Live TV, you got YouTube TV, Fubo TV,
CBS
and like All Access. I don't count because that's not quite the same.
Okay,
I'm thinking more like see Fubo,
Hulu,
DirecTV.
What was Sony's
Vudu?
PSV. No. I think that's gone.
No, Sony. They have another one. Crackle.
Oh, Crackle.
But they also have Vudu too, don't they? Vudu,
that's not Live TV. But neither of those are Live TV. I'm thinking of the Live TV ones, you know. Live TV ones, you got a whole bunch of those.
Well,
now.
PBS has their Live TV.
PBS has that? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
See, but you don't have to pay for PBS is free, though, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, and there's just so many of them, and it's like eventually I see, like, Fubo getting snapped up by, like, Google or something like that, you know. Eventually, you know. And what's worse, though, is these cable channels that are on there are not doing anybody any favors to make it easier. Like, for example, I love YouTube TV when I tried it. But
have you tried Have you tried Pluto TV?
I have. It's okay. I like
Pluto. Yeah, it's okay. And then have you tried, now it used to be only on Windows, but there were ways to get it to run on Linux, and it's called Readon.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah. Readon will, basically it's rebroadcasting of local television from like all over the world.
Now I use Fubo. Like for example, I'm going to watch the Ohio State Buckeyes this weekend on Big Ten Network on Fubo. I've used that. I've used Pluto's great for like a lot of the old stuff. Like the you can binge watch like an old TV series so easy on Pluto. I mean, just turn it on and leave it there.
Right. Yeah, but
one channel.
I know Readon is still around. I go and look them up every now and again. They don't have a native Linux player.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was using it back on Windows, it was interesting because, I mean, you could get local television from California or you could get local television from, like, Columbia.
Interesting. Now, one thing you're going to find out, too, is if you have one of these smart TVs, like I have a Hitachi TV with Roku, as the base, the Roku is the operating system for the TV. Okay, so when I first attached the red set of rabbit ears, I got an amplified set of rabbit ears because some of the Buckeye games are on Channel 6, and Channel 6 is not on Fubo. Okay, well, when I was dinking around with the menus one day, and I saw this thing, it says, "Put a thumb drive on here, and you can pause live TV." So I did. I got one of my 32 gig drives. You don't have it. I think the smallest you can go is like, I think you can go an 8 gig or you get a little bit more time with the 16 gig, but it doesn't give you any more time beyond that. So, but you can pause like TV off the antenna, which is fantastic. So it's a little bit, it's kind of like having a DVR, but not because you can't record it all the way. You know, because there will be a certain time that the buffer will fill up and just start eating itself. But it works great. And the antenna TV, holy crap. Dan, I remember back in the day you could only get like three channels from the antenna. But I've got the main channels that we're all used to, the ABCs, the CBSs, the NBCs. I can get all those. I can get their like a Me TV, which is all the old TV series.
Yeah. Now I don't know if it's still this way, but I know that back in the day, that even if you didn't have a cable subscription, you should still be able to hook up to your wall cable and get the public broadcast stuff, the stuff that's broadcast freely.
I haven't tried that. Don't need to.
Now, I doubt that it's still the same since
now, all this stuff,
most cable companies require you to have a cable box,
right,
which is what, you know, translates everything they send.
And all this stuff that we just talked about is the main reason why I don't play that much video games anymore, because I have too many other things to do.
You're just not multitasking.
That's the problem.
Multitasking, yeah.
Yeah, you got to be doing your projects, you know, with your Raspberry Pi or whatever while watching a TV show, and that frees up time later for you to play video games.
Uh-huh, sure.
While listening to podcasts. At 4X.
4X. I'm not door-to-door geek. I can't listen to stuff that fast.
Sure you can. It just takes practice.
All right.
Those are all the shows that you can find over there on FlyingRich.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff? Yes, only Flying Rich's shows.
Yeah, okay.
Only the content that he puts on YouTube. That's
Rich,
the only thing I watch.
Streaming service, that's what we all need.
Flying Rich Streaming.
Guns and ammo.
I gotta play this out, man. It's getting late. I gotta get up. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
I don't think Pat's there anymore. Hope he feels better. And
yeah, he was sounding a little rough.
Yeah, he did. I will talk to you guys next week. Have a happy. Here it is, your promos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. But join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night the interactive live show. Visit lhspodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. Now, I need to look at this because I currently have Hulu for $11.99 a month. If all I have to do to get Disney Plus is add dollars, as long as I can still have no ads on Hulu, I'm fine with that.
How much is Hulu? Isn't that like $7.99 or $12.99 or something like that?
Base plan with ads is $5.99.
Without ads is what?
$11.99.
So if you get Disney and then add Hulu on to Disney, how much is that?
$12.99.
So it's like a dollar more than you're paying for like Hulu Premium or whatever.
Well, I need to look into this because
that's weird.
Is the $12.99 also no ads?
Oh no. Alright. Actually, Sega Nigel, I'm gonna stop this recording so I can continue on looking while doing the show.
It's still probably gonna be around freezing. We had about 3 inches the other day.
Snow?
Yep. Mostly, actually, it was 3 inches on one side of my house, and up front, maybe a couple. And since the sun always hits the front of my house, that side, with the exception of the car, it was pretty much not melted all the way, but it's getting there. But for some reason, the cars aren't clearing off.
Holy crap, I'm looking Gainesville, Florida. I didn't realize it's 45 degrees in Gainesville, Florida.
It's like 12 degrees here.
It was 7 this morning, Joe. Yeah, 7.
It's
the Joe, hell with 7. That crap.
75 at my house right now.
It's I'm too early for that shit. This stuff's not supposed to happen until January.
Damn that global warming.
No. I'm in Texas. That stuff's not supposed to happen.
Well, fair point.
Oh, I'm looking at Gainesville, Texas. That makes sense.
Dumbass.
Well, it doesn't say.
I tried roasted turkey Pringles with my dinner tonight.
So the diet is going real good, huh?
Doing all right. I'm not going up. I'm not going down. I'm kind of staying the same.
Well, then that's not good. Wow, that's still not much better. Gainesville, Florida's 48? Are they serious? No, they can't be. This is so stupid. It says Gainesville. I have two Gainesvilles on my phone, but it doesn't say where. Like, the state would be an important piece of information.
Right now in Gainesville, it's 49 and clear.
Gainesville says it's 49 and clear. And I specifically asked Google, Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah, but on my Note 8, the app that does the weather, it doesn't give the state. It just gives the town name. It's like, really? Are you that freaking dumb? Two letters. Two letters would make clear all ambiguity.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Saturday in Gainesville, I'm going to be in Gainesville on Saturday. The high will be 59 degrees.
You're going to be in Gainesville on Saturday?
Florida.
Ah. I was going to say you should come to the lug.
Hey, Joe, did I actually email you?
Yes.
Oh, okay, because you answered really weird.
Yeah, I was in a bit of a hurry. Wasn't paying too much attention. Thought that you had a problem with Docker.
Yeah, I got a problem with everything. Just check the boxes. Check all the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to agree, Joel.
Oh, but why?
And I'm doing Atkins.
So did you find the issue?
Nah, nothing works right. Not a damn thing works right.
And it wasn't a C-group problem.
I don't even know what a C-group is.
That's ACLs, dude.
Containerization.
That too. Yes.
So, there's... like a GitHub page for how to do the Docker install or to install this container. And I've had it working in the past. It won't work now. It's squawking about, if I remember, was it Node.js, the version of Node?
Mm-hmm.
I think I sent you screenshots, right?
Yeah, but it's difficult for me to see your screenshots.
Oh, mm-hmm. Why?
He's on a phone.
You looking on a Nokia phone? What's that?
Actually, it probably would have been easier to zoom in on a phone, but no, on my computer in the garage, I would have had to have downloaded the images and blown them up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I've got old eyeballs.
Dude, don't we all?
Hey, Joe, I got the Sentio Superbook working with Dex.
Yeah. I saw your...
Yeah, it worked pretty well. The only thing that doesn't work is Netflix. Netflix doesn't work.
Oh, is there a reason?
I actually found it's actually quite common for Netflix to not work on Dex. I'll have to try it in the browser and see if it works.
The image doesn't go through.
Right.
Everything seems to work, right. But then the image doesn't pass through.
That yeah, that's exactly what I see. I'll see a black screen, and I'll hear the audio coming from the phone. But that's it. But right. Other than that, I think YouTube worked. A few other things worked. It worked pretty well, actually. I'm kind of impressed with it. So I'm gonna try when I go to next month when I go over to Rich's Land. I'm gonna try that, and I think I'm just gonna take that.
It seems very limiting to me.
That's true. I mean,
it's a cool gimmick, but it's not something I'm gonna use. Rely on
for this. I would say for this trip, it's probably gonna be fine. But when I go down to my dad's in December, I'm probably just gonna take my Surface. So.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out which portable router I want to use, but it's a little difficult to pick because I need something with a bit more storage space.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for the actual ROM itself, that way I can do things like add Easy Tether.
Right.
Which means that it needs to be able to run OpenWRT or have OpenWRT natively installed and then still have enough memory to add other things at the same time.
I think I need to get a EPI and build like a pie hole or something that I can use when I travel and get a case with the LCD in the top.
Well, you're talking about a pie hole to set that up, but to take with you, but I don't know why you would do that. You build the pie hole, you leave it on your home network, and then you set up a VPN wherever you're at.
Well, maybe not. Maybe I'm using the wrong thing. Maybe I need to talk to Dan Fry and find out what he does, because then that way I could take something like a Chromecast or something, up a network, because I do have a spare Chromecast
I've actually written an article on this recently that I'm still choosing where I want to publish, and I had to rewrite part of it.
Right.
But what you do is you get a router that allows you to SSH into it, and then, so OpenWRT is perfect for that.
Right.
And then you do an SSH forward. So you'll have the router connect to whatever network, and then you SSH forward into the router.
Lane.
So that way, you're getting the router's internet, and then if there's a login screen or something, you just do it right from there.
Well, either way,
just set a VM up.
I was gonna say the biggest problem is the Chrome talking to, or the Chromecast talking to the hotel's Wi-Fi. Because right. of the browser,
okay.
Because you have to set up a hotspot.
Joe.
What?
This is fantastic stuff. Why are you wasting it for the post show?
Why are you wasting it on Joe?
Let's start the damn show already, all and right. I will yak I'm on sorry. About this all damn
I mean,
day.
I mean, oh. You could have been on time there, Dan.
I was here for a while. I was just setting some stuff up.
Dan, how'd you charge it?
I was the first one on, and y'all started tripping in right about 8:27, so.
It was, to answer your question, Rich, it was a starter. The starter went bad.
All on your car?
Yeah.
It happens.
Hey, Pat.
So what happened was, like last 2 weeks ago, I got a call. Where the hell was my wife?
Timbuktu?
I don't know. I forget where she was. I don't think she was at work. She was somewhere. She needed me to come and jump the car because the battery wasn't working. Or it had died. So we thought the battery was going bad. And so we went last Thursday, I think it was, and I bought a new battery and put it in there, and it wouldn't turn over. Like, you would press it, and it would just everything was working fine. Lights, windshield wipers, radio, and it would make this whirling noise.
And so we looked it up, and there were three things that...
It sounds like the starter solenoid isn't engaging.
Right.
And if so you whacked it with a hammer, it would have worked.
Well, what we did was there was three things that one site has said. It's either going to be a battery, alternator, or a starter, right? But then another place, a couple other sites had said, if you replace the battery, sometimes that could cause the a malfunction in the electronics to lose its like factory settings or something, get corrupted.
But I don't think that's a factor in your car.
We didn't know, but when my wife tried one of the things that they had recommended to do, the car started up, and it was like you have to push the ignition starter button at the same time you give it a little bit of gas and then back off and it should catch. And she was able to do that twice. Drove it around. Like I said, well, drive it around for 10 minutes and then see what happens. You know, then it should reset itself. So she did that. And then when she got back in after driving around for 10 minutes, it wouldn't start again. And we couldn't get it to go again by the method of hitting the gas. And then I was able to make it run by the method of hitting the gas. And so it was unreliable. And after a while, it just wouldn't work anymore, right? We couldn't get it to do it.
You'd just hear a noise, but it wouldn't start.
It wouldn't even, like, turn over. Yeah, all you would hear is, like, occasionally you hear, like, this whirling noise.
Click,
and then,
click, click.
Yeah. Or nothing. Yeah. It wasn't even that click, click, click. Like,
right.
I recognize
so the whirring noise, what's happening is the starter motor is spinning, but the solenoid isn't driving the plunger into the flex, the ring gear on the flex plate.
So on a Lark, we tried to jump it again, and it started right up.
Yeah, it might be just that it needs a little bit of juice to energize that solenoid. Technically, your starter wasn't bad. It was the solenoid on the starter that was bad.
So, given that, and we weren't 100% sure what it was, once we got it started, we just drove it right to the mechanic and dropped it off, and they had put in a new starter.
Still less than a new car.
Now, this was a Hyundai, right?
No, this...
Honda Fit.
Kia Sorento. Kia?
Oh, it was your Kia?
So, like I said, it was a Hyundai. Wow.
Yeah. What's that? I'm sorry.
So, like I said, it was a Hyundai. How much did that cost you?
That was like $500.
Oh, man. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
No, it hurt. Oh. It hurt big time.
Dude,
and it was one of those things where I looked and, like, you can replace the starter. It was like $100 and some to buy a starter. But
really? Wow.
$120, I think it was.
And you know what
I bet
it is.
You it's probably at the bottom of the engine or someplace stupid
right,
like that.
But you have to disassemble all this stuff to get to it, to put
oh,
it in
yo.
And reach around. Oh. And then it's like you go into, and I was like, you know, I could probably do this. It would take a good part of the day, and I have a lot of complaining and fighting and trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know if this is what the problem is, because I tried to plug in my ODBC drive, and it wouldn't connect
to
the
ECU. Yeah.
Module. So I was like, I couldn't diagnose it.
You got to the point, the
it's,
end point.
It's
of
not
going to
tell you anything.
What? That's so, not gonna, that wouldn't tell you.
Nah. Now there's no sensor for that.
I didn't know. Like I said, I didn't even know if that's what it was. I mean, it could have been a fuse. It could have been the alternator. It could have been this.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. I'm not saying that that's a bad idea, but now that we know what it was, you aren't going to get a code for it. I have that, my wife's Jetta, the Jetta diesel, the alternator went bad, and they wanted like $2,000 to do the alternator. We had a warranty that covered it, so it wasn't any big deal. But getting at that alternator, Lord help you. I have built every single part of a car that exists. I mean, differentials, turbochargers, transmissions, automatics, manuals, everything. I know this crap. That was an effing nightmare. I was looking at it. I'm like, well, if I had to do it on my own, I could get, you know, a rebuilt alternator from the repair shop. It was like $300. And that was the cost of, I think the deductible was like $200 on the warranty. and we had it in for another repair also. So we were going to pay the money no matter what. Like, this is a no-brainer.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there always gets to be a point. You know, it never ceases to amaze me what kind of decisions manufacturers make about putting shit in cars. Like, for example, the Sebring I had, in order to replace the battery, you had to yank the wheel and the wheel well shroud around the wheel to get at the battery. And it's like, come on. You can't make it so the battery's right in, like, you lift the hood and there it is. Well, lift it out and put it in.
And realistically, did you buy the car new?
That one, no, it was used.
And how many years old was it at that time?
That's a good question. No, it was an 06, and this was before 2012, so...
Although, I was going to say, there are things that dealers don't care about because they're not going to deal with it during the warranty period.
That's true.
And although, I've had batteries go unusually early. I had the battery go in like 18 months on my second Genesis.
Yep. Well, and then other weird things too, like not just cars. Like, I had a smart switch in my hallway. We had a power... just a power blip, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't come back on. So, just in case it was something, you know, where I didn't have to hit a magical combination on the switch in order to get the thing to wake back up, I hit up support, and they sent me a new one.
Wow!
They sent me a new one, so I got the new one. So this weekend when Luke goes to college orientation Saturday, yay! But he's going to that with my wife. I'm going to shut the power off for the 10-15 minutes it's going to take me to wire that up, and hopefully it fixes my hall light.
And I'll tell you, last thing I wired up, I think it was the wall socket for the TV in the master bedroom.
Yep.
And I turned off the breaker for the actual light that I was working on, and... You know, it takes a while to crawl through the rafters.
A lot of electricians won't even do that. I mean, the guy who did my kitchen, he never turned the breaker off.
Well, anyhow, I'm up there, and I'm wiring, you know, I'm teeing into it. I'm putting an electric 1900 box there with a cover, and I'm running the wire for the new outlet behind the TV. There was still frickin' power on that. So from mm-hmm. now on, like you said, I turn the frickin' master breaker off.
I don't turn the master off. I'm just going to turn off. I'm going to turn off every breaker that says lighting, which will probably turn off a few others that I don't need to be off. But everyone that says lighting, I'm going to turn off.
You might as well just turn the master off. Call it a day. Because I'm up there. I know I turned off the right one because the light went off. It wouldn't go on. You know, where I was teeing into it, the power. Like, okay, I know this is the power for it. So, and sure enough. I got a shock. The last thing I want to be doing is being having my 100 and change pound wife trying to pull 200 pound me out of the rafters. I mean, that'll never happen.
Yeah, fortunately that won't happen with this. I want to flip the same two that I did last time, and I was fine with that. But you know, I don't not understand the electricians. The electrician I had doing the work in my kitchen and my bathroom. He just, you know, he just yanked shit out and never turned the breaker off once. And I'm like, that's probably why he had the problems he had.
Did he have like an epileptic twitch?
Didn't have that, but like you say, oh, I'll be there at 1 o'clock, all right. So 1:30, I'll send him a text message. I thought you were gonna be here at 1 o'clock. Oh, I just got up. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Wow!
Needless to say, I don't think he's working anymore. Because when they came
drinking,
in...
drinking his paycheck from the night before.
Actually, I think you're 100% right on that, Pat.
Oof.
Because I smelled it on his breath when he came to work.
Hey, Pat, guess who I'm going to be shooting guns with on Saturday?
Let me guess. AK guy.
Nah, Hank String.
And Pat, you need to get a new microphone because you sound different now.
Well, I'm sick.
Okay, that's why.
I got a chest cold.
Oh, man.
Fighting it.
Come on, what is it? 30 degrees out there? What?
It's a little warmer than that.
Hey, Pat, I think for Thanksgiving or Christmas, I think I'm going to try and make a shoe fly pie to take down on my dad's. Because neither of us can go. We used to go buy them every once in a while when we used to live in your area of the country.
Just as long as you have, you know, your insulin handy.
Yeah, it's true. Anyway. Because that's really all it is. It's a molasses pie. Yeah, start the show, man.
We got diverted.
Car talk.
All right. Bum, bum, bum. All right. Oh, what I was going to add, Rich, before we start the show, to close out the car stuff, I should replace the alternator on my Honda Fit. And I've been toying around with that, whether I want to try and myself. Well, I know that the alternator is going south and we're getting rid of the car soon. So I don't know, like, if I get it replaced, it's going to cost around $1,000. If I do it myself, it's going to cost a couple $100 just to get the part from what I see. And then the only thing is, it's like, I think you have to take out the drive chain to do it.
No.
I was looking at, like, where it's positioned, you might have to do that. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to tackle. I'm like, right now, I'm like, I'm just holding my breath and crossing my fingers and hoping that it'll just keep going until we just get rid of it. But
you're telling me the alternator isn't belt driven on the Fit?
It's on the chain. Well,
I'd be shocked. I don't know of anything that's chain drive or gear drive like that.
Like, I read somewhere you have to it's not like I can see the alternator, right? And actually, you can get a remanufactured one for $76, right?
And it's on the bottom, it looks like, of the car, like on the all the way in the bottom. You'd have to have it up on jacks to do it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Like, I gotta look it up again. Like when I watched how to do it, it wasn't as simple as just pulling it off and putting it back on. There were other things that you had to disassemble around it. Like, you could see it. It's just right under the engine. Mm-hmm. You can reach it from the top, but there are other things that you have to remove in front of it. It's actually got a belt attached to it, I think.
Don't freaking make cars like they used to. Like, my 80s Cutlass, the alternator is, bam, right there on the top. Loosen a couple bolts, and, dude, it's out, you know? And then you pull the plug, put the new one in, everything is done. If you know what you're doing, everything's done inside of an hour. In a car like a Fit, nope.
Yeah, so there's like, it's not something that's going to be easy. That's why I've been really reluctant to do it. It looks like it should be, but I don't know.
You got to trade it in. Hopefully, I would just trade it in and let the dealership deal with it. I wouldn't mess with it. As long as you can get there, take whatever they give you for it, even if it's just for scrap, you know?
Well, are you privately selling it, or are you trading it in?
We'll probably trade it in.
You won't get nothing for it either way, to be honest.
Yeah, pretty much, no. Anyway.
You should run in Demolition Derby.
And actually, I think if you want another Honda Fit, you actually got to buy one, like, now, like, this year, I think, because aren't they getting rid of it?
the Honda Fit isn't a great car. I'm just shocked. You should be getting like 40 plus miles per gallon out of that, and you don't.
What do you mean we don't?
What kind of mileage you get with that?
I get really good mileage with that. Like, I know it's somewhere between 30 and 40 miles an hour. Not miles an hour. Miles
a gallon.
A gallon highway, at least. When I would have to drive back and forth to work, I'd only have to fill up like once a week.
Yeah, I just remember somebody else having one, and the mile per gallon numbers weren't as good. My wife's Sonata gets 40 plus miles per gallon all the time. Of course, it's a hybrid.
Of course, Dan had a stick too, so he was probably getting some of the better mileage than most Fits.
Well, the computer controlled transmissions are now better than a stick.
Oh, I don't doubt it anymore. I mean, the days and age of the gated shifter on supercars is pretty much done, and then a lot of other cars too.
Yep.
All right, I guess we should start the show because now we're.
Oh, we got to talk about like the PDK dual clutch transmission and the positive aspects of it.
Save it for the show.
That's semi-technical, yeah. Or when there's something recent about infotainment systems that would be more appropriate. I thought there was.
Anyhow, guys, I got to go to record the mini PC show now.